In truth, I'm appreciative of the fact that you're here. That's an encouragement to one another, ought to be, and I trust that it is. And I'm certainly thankful to be with you. We are glad again to have so many visitors with us this morning. We hope that you'll continue to be with us at every opportunity that you have. Our appeal is to what the Bible says, Romans 4:3, for what saith the Scriptures. It's not what I think about it or what I feel about it or maybe how I've seen it in the past that will ever establish what is right. But what does the Bible say about it? What does God say about it is revealed in the Holy Scriptures. And so in keeping with that, I'll do my best to give you book, chapter, and verse for the things that I say and you follow along with me. If you have questions, you can ask me. If I don't know the answer to it, we'll direct our attention to the Bible and we'll search and dig and study until we find out what God says about it. Put the title of the lesson on the board this morning, How Ready Are You? You may respond to that and say, well, preacher, it depends on what you're asking me what I'm ready for. So we want to notice some things of which each of us need to be ready for this morning. The first one that I want you to think about is found in the book of Titus, chapter 3. And in verse 1, when Paul is writing to Titus, and like he did with Timothy, he's instructing him to do the work of an evangelist and tell him what that duty is and so forth. And among other things he talks about, he pins as recorded in chapter 3, verse 1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and to powers, to obey magistrates. Now watch what he says. And to be ready to every good work. Good works are important. I'm here to tell you that this morning. Not things of which I think is a good work, or maybe what you think is a good work. Many in the religious world today do things because they think it is a good work. I've said before, and I'll remind you again, that every time you read about good works in the Bible, it's always relegated to the individual doing it. Think about it. Do that as a little study for you. Look that phrase up, good works. And ask yourself the question, is he talking about the church doing it or an individual doing it? See what you come up with. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In Titus 2:14, he hath redeemed us to be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Well, how am I going to know what God would have me to do that would be categorized as a good work in the sight of God? I hold a book that gives me that instruction. Does you too? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, when Paul is discussing the Scriptures as he's writing to Timothy, and he tells Timothy, from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, verse 15. Then he talks to him about the origin of the Scriptures, verse 16, and the profitableness of the Scriptures in that verse. Then he sums it up in verse 17 when he says that the man of God may be perfect, fully furnished, equipped unto every what? Good work. How am I going to know what is a good work? When the Scriptures say that it's a good work. Not when I say it's a good work, but when God says that it's a good work. And so I ask you the question, how ready are you to do those good works? Are we engaged with it? I've got to start with myself. Then all the way around the room as I ask that question. But as you think about how ready are you, and I'm asking myself the question, how ready am I? I think about a statement found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. So I hope you're being a good student of the Bible, that you're listening, and you're getting your eyes on the text, and you're reading as I'm reading. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Now watch Him. And be ready. All right, Brother Peter, I'm interested now in what I need to be ready for. That's what we're talking about. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. How ready are you to give an answer? If I were to ask you, why do you believe what you believe? What would you say? Oh, the preacher said so. That's not good enough. Preacher's not the authority. He's not the standard. Well, Mom and Dad told me. Mom and Dad's not the standard. Well, my good wife or my good husband said they're not the standard. It must be because the Lord said so, and here's where it says it. Can we put our finger on the passage? I've told you, and I'll tell others, and I'll tell us again. If I cannot open the book up and put my finger on the passage that authorizes the doing of the thing, then I best not be doing it. You agree with that? I hope we all agree with that. Look, I can't do that if I don't know what the Bible says. And so I've got to study the Word of God. Give due diligence to what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I got to know how to give an answer, both in what it says and how to do that. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech be always seasoned with, or be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Are you ready to give an answer? You may be taking self-inventory, and I hope you are, as I have to do the same thing. And you may say, preacher, I'm not sure that I can give an answer for the things that I say. Y'all, let me tell you a good remedy for that. Study. Study. And don't stop until you can give an answer for those things. There's a thing about being ready, and how ready are you? How ready am I? I wonder if I can echo the words as stated by the Apostle Paul, recorded in Romans chapter 1 and in verse 15. Paul is writing to the saints at Rome, chapter 1, verse 7. He says in verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready. Ready for what, Paul? I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. You know why he was ready to do that? You know why he was willing to do that? You know why he thought and saw that as being important to do? Because it's God's power to save, the next verse tells us. It's only in the gospel that the righteousness of God is revealed, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. In verse 17, he talks about. And so Paul realized that it was through the preaching of the gospel that men and women would be saved when they heard it, believed it, and obeyed it. In Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world or the age. What did he command them to do? First of all, he commanded them to go. Then he commanded them to preach or to teach. A parallel passage to that in Mark 16:15 says, go and preach the gospel to every creature. So he commanded them to go, to teach or to preach, to baptize them. Some versions say making disciples of them. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then stop there. Is that where your period is placed? Then he continues that by saying, teaching them. Them who? The ones who heard it, believed it, and obeyed it. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So the problem is sometimes we strive and we work so hard in trying to plant the good seed of the kingdom, which is important. Luke 8:11. Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. We've got to strive to sow, to get the seed out of the barn, put it into the hearts and minds of good and honest people. And when we do that, it'll grow, it'll germinate. And we strive to do that. Then when individuals obey, many times what we do is we drop the ball. We don't teach them like we should, knowing what that passage says. And we talk about the Great Commission, about being ready to do that. But then we don't give much thought about being ready to continue to teach them so that they can grow and learn. We just wrapped up, by the way, last Sunday. I don't know how many weeks we studied in that class, but a first principles class. And that's important because new converts need to know the Bible that they'll be able to stand. Are we ready to preach? In 2 Timothy 2:2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so when I learn it and I obey it, I need to find someone faithful and teach them so that he can turn around and keep on teaching. That's why it's important to train young men and older men too, how to preach the gospel. So they can turn around and teach others and preach the everlasting gospel of Christ. But we've got to do some purposing, some being prepared, some preparedness if we're going to do that. That's why the question, are you ready? Like Ezra 7 verse 10, that Ezra purposed in his heart. What did he purpose in his heart? That he would seek the law of the Lord and to learn it, do it, that he might teach it diligently. Teach Israel those things. Seek it, learn it, do it, teach it to others. And we've got to do the same thing. But also, when I think about am I ready, or how ready am I? I think about a statement found in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. You go back to your Old Testament, and notice what the Bible says, what the wise man stated in Ecclesiastes 5, verses 1 and 2. Keep thou foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready. I hope you're underscoring or making a mental note or writing it down in whatever book it is you write down things in. This word ready. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not consider that they do evil. Then verse 2 he goes on to say, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. The problem with some folks, and I don't have anyone in mind when I say this, but there's plenty of folks that would fit the bill, is that they talk too much. We need to learn to bite our tongue. We need to learn to think about what we say before we say it. We'll be better off if we do. The church will be better off if we do that thing. Like in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, when the Bible says, let therefore no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Think about it before you say it. In James 1, verse 19, wherefore let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Then he says in verse 20 that the righteousness of man worketh not the righteousness of God. James 1, 19, and in verse 20. How ready are you? How ready are you to hear? Or are we too quick to speak? Too quick to get angry in the context of that anger at the Word of God, speaking against the Word of God and not hearing the Word of God. Are we ready? If so, how ready? But also in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 19. To the church of Christ at Corinth, Paul pins this, said, not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord, and the declaration of your ready mind. When it comes to being involved in the work that God has given to the church, how ready are we to do that? Three areas church work is, right? The area of evangelism, edification, and then benevolence to needy saints. Are we ready to do that? In 1 Peter 5, 2, elders were admonished to take oversight of the flock, lead them with a good example, willingly, of a ready mind, not by constraint and so forth. And then Philippians 2, 5 talks about the mind of Christ. So the Bible has a lot to say about a willing heart, that is a willing mind, and a ready mind. In Luke 22, verse 33, verse 31, when the Lord said to Simon, this Simon Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And then after this, the Lord told Peter, you're going to deny me. Of which we know that he ended up doing. It's indicated by the close of the book of John that he had learned his lesson when the Lord was asking him, Simon Barjona, lovest thou me more than these? Lord, you know that I love you. Asked him that question three times, using different original Greek words, by the way, which is significant in that passage. It indicates that he learned his lesson to not say more than what you know that you're willing to do. But nonetheless, in Acts 21, verse 13, Paul said, why mean you to weep and to break my heart? For I'm not ready only to be bound, but to die, he says. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and then verse 6, as he writes the closing words to Timothy, for I'm now ready to be offered. Some versions say, I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering. He knew that his time was short. For I'm now ready to be offered in the time of my departure. In other words, it won't be long before I die. My earthly pilgrimage is going to be over. Paul was ready for that. And I ask you and I ask myself, am I ready for that? Am I willing to do that if it ever is called for? I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Doesn't sound like Paul was doubting that either, does it? I have. Henceforth there's laid up for me, and he didn't doubt this either, a crown of righteousness which the Lord the righteous just shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. One more point. In Matthew 24 and then verse 44. As he said in verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered or allowed his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Are you ready for the Lord's return? Matthew 24:13. Blessed are they that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. 2 Peter 3:10-14 talks about the day of the Lord coming. It's not maybe or perhaps he might come or if he might come. He will come. And the only question is when. I don't know. But when he comes, will I be ready? Our scripture reading was in the first 13 verses of the book of Matthew chapter 25 when the Bible talks about those 10 virgins, 5 foolish and 5 wise. When the good man came, you know who went in with him? Those that were wise. You know how the Bible describes them as we just had read a moment ago in our hearing? They that were ready. Are you ready? If you never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you're not ready. And we want you to be ready. I hope you want to be ready to respond to this invitation that you'll become a child of God. That if the Lord were to come today, or when He does come, you'll be ready. You do that by hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing it, John 8:24, repenting of your sins, changing your mind about what you've been doing. Results in a change of life. Acts 3:19. Confessing your faith before those present this morning, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37. and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, Acts 2, verse 38. He'll add you to the one body of the New Testament, His church, the church of Christ, Acts 2 and then verse 47. Maybe you have done that, but you've not been faithful as you should. You realize that. You want to come home, be restored, start anew. Start all over again. God will forgive you if you'll repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto Him in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Be ready. Come right now.